Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. God created marriage. He's the one who built it, who instituted it, who designed it. As we see from our first reading from the book of Genesis, where God made the first man, Adam, out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And Adam became a living being. It was by God's work that man was created and that he had life. Man did not create himself. But it was not good that the man was alone. And so God didn't say to Adam, go and make yourself a wife. Go and make yourself a companion. But he put Adam to sleep. And God formed from Adam's side the woman, Eve. And then brought her to Adam, and she became his wife. And so God instituted marriage. He did not create someone just like Adam to be Adam's wife. But he created one who corresponded to him so that the two fit together. They are not the same, they are different. God built marriage. In fact, when it says that God made Eve from the side of Adam, it's the same word that we use in the psalm that I recited at the beginning of this sermon. Where it says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. The word build there and the word made here in Genesis have a similar root, similar connection. So we could say that God built the woman, taking her from the side of Adam. And so God built marriage. He created it. He instituted it. He is the one who built it. And so it's appropriate then that we have this psalm, Psalm 127, that says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. We would not be here had it not been for God building marriage in the first place, making a man and woman, that first man and that first woman in the Garden of Eden. From them come all people. People have been in that same estate that God created, the estate of marriage, for thousands and thousands of years. And so God builds these marriages and continues to give life through them. And that's why we are here today. He does this for all people. All people come from the same Adam and Eve, whether they are rich or poor, whether they are high or low, whether they are from India or from America. All have been created by the same God, descended from the same Adam and Eve, and God built the same marriage for all of them, for husbands and wives, to be united in love, and through them, to bring new life. And so today, we gather to see the union of Jeet and Shivani in marriage. To see them united in this thing that God built and designed and created. And we remember the words of our Lord that unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And so they have come here to God's house. By coming here and by confessing their sins, by hearing the word of God on marriage, by asking for our prayers and God's blessing, the blessing of the one true God who created and instituted marriage, they are saying, we want the Lord to build our house, to build our marriage. We want him to be at the center of it. Because unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. So how does God build their marriage? How does God build any Christian marriage? He builds it through the forgiveness of Jesus. But why do we need that? Well, anyone who's been married for any time knows certainly that the other person is a sinner, but also should know and find out that they themselves are sinners. We come to see and to understand and realize that we are sinners in need of forgiveness here. And why was that in the first place? Well, because Adam and Eve, our first parents, sinned, rebelled against God, and ate of the fruit of the tree, and so all sinned. That is why we have death, why we have suffering, why we have contention, why we have difficulty, why we have divorce. All of it because of the first sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. We suffer from its effects still today, and we are born in sin. We are born stained and dirty with sin. And so we all need to be cleansed of our sins. Because we cannot cleanse ourselves. We cannot wash ourselves of our sins and make ourselves holy and pure and spotless as the holy God who made and instituted and designed marriage. And so we have to come to the font, to baptism, where Jesus washes us in his blood. Because he paid for our sins on the cross. And here in baptism, he delivered to Jeet and to Shiwani, and to many of us, his forgiveness, where he washed Christians and made them his children, marked them with his name, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and said, "You belong to me, you are my own, you are washed of your sins." And on that foundation, then, the Lord then continues to forgive, continues to strengthen, the new life that he first gave in baptism, where he washed Jeet and Shiwani and washed Christians in his blood. And now they come here confessing their sins and receiving the forgiveness that Christ gives because he continues to forgive his people because we continue to sin. And the new life that we were given in baptism continues to need to be strengthened by our Lord's forgiveness. And so they build, or rather the Lord builds, this house and this marriage through his forgiveness, and will continue to build it through the hearing of his word and through his body and blood. And then we pray that they, as they live together, receiving the forgiveness of Jesus, will forgive one another, because they certainly will sin against one another. And so every married couple needs to be receiving the forgiveness of Jesus and his new life, and then to live in his forgiveness toward one another. And then, also, to live in the order that he has called them to live as husband and wife. Because, as we have said in the address that I gave, and you see in Ephesians chapter 5, this marriage, and any Christian marriage, is to be a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. With the wife receiving from her husband his love and his care, just as the church submits to Christ and receives from Christ his love and care and forgiveness. And then the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Just as Christ gave himself up for the church and sacrificed himself for her, so the husbands are to die to themselves and to sacrifice themselves for their wives. This is what we pray for Jeet and Shiwani. And we also pray that in this union, where they live out this picture of the relationship between Christ and the church, that then God would bless them with children. As we said in Psalm 127, that children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a blessing, not a burden, not something to get through and get past, but a blessing that God entrusts to us, and we teach them the word of God so that these children may hear and believe, so that they are brought to the waters of holy baptism and are washed in the blood of Jesus as well, and that they may live as Christians, die also confessing the faith, and be with us as well in heaven forever. Our Lord builds marriage. He created it, he instituted it, and he builds the marriages and the houses of those we pray here too. That this marriage may be centered on the Word of God, and that all our marriages here represented may be centered and built on the Word of God in receiving our Lord's forgiveness and a new life in word and sacrament. Now may the peace of God, that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.